Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message is a portion of the epistle lesson where we read in Galatians chapter 4. But when the time finally came, God sent out his son to be born of a woman and to be born under law, in order to pay the price to free those under the law, that we might be adopted as his full-fledged sons. These are the words of our text. In American history, particularly the history of the West, there are a lot of stories of outlaws who tried to escape the law. And movies have been made of those outlaws and fictitious outlaws, always seeking to escape the long reach of the law. People like Jesse James and the Younger Brothers, robbing and killing and then trying to get away with it. In more modern times, there were stories of Bonnie and Clyde and John Dillinger and Al Capone, who also broke the law and sought ways to escape the law. And no matter how the outlaws or the gangsters tried to get away from the law, they never escape it, do they? They either end up being apprehended and imprisoned, or they get gunned down. There's no escaping the law. Likewise, in our lives, we try to escape the law, don't we? We try to escape and run from God's law. And try as we may, there's no way to escape it. Oh, people try. They think that if they ignore God, if they speak of his will, his law, as simply suggestions for life, that somehow that frees them from the reach of the law. Or if they claim there is no God, if there's no God, there's no law. They try to escape the law, its judgment, its condemnation, its guilt, its shame. But there's no escaping it, is there? Because God's law isn't simply something written in the Holy Scriptures. It's not simply something that was written on tablets of stone. But God, in his infinite majesty and wisdom, wrote it on man's heart. He wrote it on the heart of man. Long before he wrote it on tablets of stone to give to Moses, to give to the people. Adam and Eve knew that law perfectly, but then in their sin, that law written on their hearts became clouded and distorted. Much like getting out of a steamy shower or bath in a cold bathroom that steams up the mirror, and you try to look at yourself to comb your hair or to shave, and you can't see yourself, or can't see yourself clearly. That law of God is distorted in our lives, but it's still there. And there's no escaping it because we can't run from ourselves, can we? We can't escape ourselves. And whether we claim there's a law or there's no law, there's still the feeling of guilt, isn't there? There's that basic knowledge of right and wrong. And even if people claim there's no God, if they claim there's no right or wrong, that law is still at work within them. And the law is at work in us. We feel the weight of our sin. We feel the weight of God's condemnation and judgment upon us because of that law, distorted as it is still at work in our lives. And there's no escaping it. Even those who claim that there is no God, there is no law, there is no such thing as sin, can't deny that eventually the law will catch up to them. Because as St. Paul says, the wage of sin is death. And death has come to everyone through Adam. Even the unbeliever, even the atheist or the agnostic or the pagan still dies eventually. And the condemnation of that law, of that holiness of God, catches up with everyone. And we who live both as God's children, redeemed and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, still have that struggle with the law and our flesh and the righteousness of Christ and the faith that is at work in us. And we, like St. Paul, say, oh, what wretched people we are. What's going to save us from this miserable state we're in? Because the good that I know that I should do, I'm not doing. And the bad that I know I shouldn't do, that I find myself readily doing. And I find this battle going on within me. And Paul says that battle then is because of that law at work in me. And so in that way, the law is good. But who's going to rescue me, free me, redeem me from this miserable condition I'm in? He says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That very easily could have been the word of salvation for Martin Luther as he was battling with himself and his sin and trying to please God. And there Paul simply clearly puts it that nothing's going to save us from ourselves or from this condition except Jesus Christ. And Paul says here in our text that in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those, to set those free who are under the law. The Son of God, the very Word of God, the one who should be free of the law, comes into a world and subjects himself, puts himself under that law of God for us. In our gospel reading, Luke doesn't tell us the age of the infant Jesus when Mary and Joseph bring him to the temple, but they bring him to fulfill what was required of the law. And here the law being the ceremonial law that God gave to Moses to give to the people of Israel. And that law stated that the firstborn child, the firstborn son, was to be dedicated or holy to the Lord. And also that the woman was to give offering of purification for herself after her time of birth. And so they come to the temple to do for Jesus what was required of the law, and also to offer the sacrifice, the offering that was required of the law. And on New Year's Day, when everybody is celebrating the turning of a new year, we in the church mark the naming of our Lord Jesus, or his circumcision, 8 days after his birth, which was also required by the law. And in that circumcision of our Lord Jesus on the eighth day of his life, already the young infant Jesus, the young Savior, sheds his blood already in fulfillment of the law to redeem those who are under the law. And so the very Son of God places himself under the law. He doesn't say, well, I'm above the law because I'm the Son of God. But he puts himself under the law, subject to the law. He doesn't try to escape it, but rather he comes into this world, is subject to the law, and fulfills the law for us. That's an important part of our Lord's work for our salvation, just as important as his dying on the cross, suffering and dying for the sins of the world, offering himself as the sacrifice that brings peace between man and God. Our Lord Jesus comes into the world and places himself under the law to fulfill it completely and perfectly for those who are unable to fulfill it in their own lives, to redeem us from the law, to buy us back from the law, to set us free from the law. Now that doesn't mean we're afraid to go off and do whatever we want, like we have this blank check to go and sin as much as we want because, well, after all, the blood of Christ covers all of our sins. It's paid the debt in full. No, he has set us free from the law, namely, has set us free from the condemnation and the judgment and the guilt and the shame of the law. He has set us free from the oppressive requirement of the law because he has fulfilled that requirement completely for us. And when we speak of the law, he's also set us free from the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. We don't continue to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices to God. We don't subject ourselves to all of the Levitical laws that are recorded in Leviticus and then again in Deuteronomy. Nor are we subject to the civil law of the Old Testament or of Jesus' day. But we're still held accountable to God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. And Christ Jesus has fulfilled that law perfectly, doing what God requires and not doing what God requires. And as we look at our Lord's life, as we read the Gospels and we see our Lord's encounter with people, we see him fulfilling that law. We read the Gospel with sort of the explanation of Luther to the Ten Commandments as sort of a sidebar. We see then our Lord Jesus fulfilling what God required of that law for us. He speaks kind words when we would perhaps speak unkind words. He seeks the welfare of the neighbor rather than passing by. And so our Lord Jesus doesn't seek to escape the law, but he puts himself under it, even taking upon himself the punishment for those who break the law. He allows himself to be crucified for you and for I. That's also part of our redemption, part of our salvation, part of God's plan. And so, if we seek to escape the law, in a sense, we also escape the one who comes to fulfill the law for us. So now, the law is still at work in us. But it's not the only thing at work in us. The gospel is also at work in our lives. The Holy Spirit has come into us to fill us and enables us to begin to look at that law of God and to live out its requirements in the freedom that Christ gives to us. So no longer do we see its demands as pleasing a holy God who cannot possibly be pleased because we're always doing the wrong thing. But we've been set free from that requirement, that restriction of the law, because Christ has already fulfilled it for us. And now we see through the Holy Spirit at work in us, out of the outflowing of our faith and love in response to what Christ has done for us, that law then becomes free to work in us. But if I want to escape the law, I also then am really trying to escape the gospel also. Because I need that law of God. I need it to show me, how miserable I am, how wretched I am, how imperfect I am, and how much in need of a Savior I am. Because apart from that law at work in my life and the great need that I have, the message of the gospel really doesn't mean as much. Some fellow died on a cross and he rose again on the third day. Big deal. But when I see that because of my wretchedness and because of his willful sacrifice and his glorious resurrection, that sets me free from the law. I can't escape it, but I've been redeemed, I've been bought back, I've been set free from it. People want to escape the law. They want to escape God. They want to escape from his word, from the condemnation, from the restrictions. And yet in their escaping from it, they're really fleeing also from the hope and the blessing that come also through the gospel. They see only what God is telling them not to do. They don't see what God is really offering them in the gospel. And we can't escape the law. It's still part of us in our life, even as God's children, even those who are redeemed and sanctified. But it has a different take on our lives, a different purpose, a different focus. And God, in the fullness of time, sent his Son into the world to be born under the law. Not to escape it, but to fulfill it. So that he could redeem those who are under the law. That's not just Old Testament people. That's not just people living at the time when Jesus was born. That's you and I as well. And it's those who don't even know Jesus Christ, because he came into this world to redeem all people, everyone. Has to be everyone, because the moment that I say he only came to redeem some, then I also begin to call into question my own redemption. Well, then how can I be sure he really came to fulfill the law for me and died on the cross for my sins and rose again so that I could have eternal life? But when we begin to understand that he did that for all people, then there is no room for doubt. There is no room for question. That baby Jesus already begins to be subjected to the law. As we look at our Lord's life, we see him living out the law of God perfectly for us. That's just as important for our salvation as the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. In the end, those who escape the law only end up being subjected to its consequence, its judgment, its penalty, its death. Thanks be to God that his Son has taken that penalty, that consequence, that death upon himself. And that by faith, we claim that as our blessing. So that one day, yes, we will die. That's the punishment. We can't escape the punishment. But we have, by God's grace, been set free from the condemnation and from the judgment to live as his people in this world, in this time and in this space, and hereafter in eternity, because our Lord Jesus came into the world not to escape the law, but to be subjected to it. Thanks be to God that in the fullness of time he sent forth his Son to redeem us. And as we live in anticipation of his return again to bring us from this world to the world to come, may we be mindful of that blessedness that we have because of his first coming, even as we await the fullness of those blessings in his coming again. Amen.